AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 5. I go back to this scripture verse a lot on the program. The writer of Hebrews chastises his readers saying, hey, I want to talk to you about deeper things, but it's hard to explain because you become dull of hearing. He said, for by this time you ought to be teachers, but you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. One of the things that we want to do on Real Truth for Today, and we endeavor to do, is help you to be able to discern what is good and what is evil. And in the Greek, those two words are very close together. Good is kalos, K-A-L-O-S, and evil is kakos, K-A-K-O-S. And if you'll notice in those two words, it's just one letter off. And I think that's a good picture of the fact that the devil, who is a master liar, is going to come at us with something that sounds right. It seems to be right, but it's not right. And we need the Word of God to mature us and to help us see what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong, and what is of God and what is not. Now, it's a pleasure and a joy for me to welcome today to the program my friend Dr. Tom Askell, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, and the president of Founders Ministry and the chancellor of Founders Seminary that started last September, Tom?
Yeah, that's correct. We just completed our first semester and we're well underway in our second.
Very good. How many students?
We have 41 students taking classes this spring, and we are in the process of just accepting another five or six, I think, for the fall.
Is it in person or online or a combination?
No, it's in person. This is a residential program. It's a four-year program, although that's for the MDiv. It's men only, men who are qualified to be pastors and elders by the churches that send them. So the churches say, you know, they meet the biblical qualifications. But then we do have a Master's of Arts program in conjunction with ABWE, a mission sending organization, and they have missionaries around the world. And so for the Master's of Arts, you can do that online. And we have several students throughout the world who are a part of the classes, but they're doing it online. And then we have a Bachelor's of Arts to MDiv program that's 6 years, and you can do 2 years of that online as well, or maybe 2.5 or 3 years. I forget the exact numbers, but anyway, that's through the Institute of Public Theology, which is becoming a four-year liberal arts college. So the seminary, the MDiv program, is for men who aspire to the pastorate that churches have said, yeah, we believe that we see possibility for them to do that work. And it's residential, and it's been really good. It's been a challenge, but man, it's been great, and I'm very encouraged with the quality of men that have joined us from all over the nation, actually, who've moved down here to be a part of this new endeavor.
Amen to that. Is it mostly all Southern Baptists, or is it open?
No, it's most, well, yeah, I would say probably the majority are Southern Baptists, but we have folks that have come from different backgrounds, Bible backgrounds, Independent Baptist backgrounds, so all would be Baptists, but yeah, I would say probably of our students, most would be Southern Baptists, but it wouldn't be like 90%. It'd be like maybe 55% or 60% or something.
Okay, speaking of Southern Baptists, we have our convention coming up in June. Tom, I was watching again in the last week by What Standard, which was the synodoc that you put together in 2019 or came out in 2019, exposing some of the theological drift in the Southern Baptist Convention, especially in the seminaries. So that was 7 years ago, roughly. And so where do we stand today with that?
You know, it's a, Jeff, I think a lot more people have had their eyes opened today than back then. Because back then, as you probably remember, you know, I was excoriated for that documentary being released and had people pressuring me from the highest positions in the SBC. You know, don't release this documentary. And if you do, it'll ruin you and your ministry will be over. Founders ministries will be over. Had one well-placed guy say the best thing you can do is just apologize and shut down Founders ministries and just kind of go live your life out. Others, you know, yeah, it's sad, brother. I mean, and God knows I don't tell the story publicly very often. I don't know if I ever have, and I haven't named names publicly because, you know, I think they're good men and I hope some of them have come back and apologized to me, not all. But, you know, one well-respected theologian in the SBC accused me of slander and then wouldn't meet with me when I reached out to him and said, hey, let's talk. You know, he wouldn't meet with me. So anyway, those were hard days, but a lot of people were confused and just didn't understand what was going on. And I didn't understand a lot, but I saw enough to know that this was a real problem. And I think today people recognize that more. But what we have today is some of the chief protagonists in leading the SBC down bad roads are trying to rehabilitate their reputations, and they haven't repented. And that's I'm sad about that because, man, we have a Savior, and we can repent of sin and not bear any guilt or shame and trust Him and get up and go forward. But these guys who want to pretend like they've always seen this or that, you know, just want everybody to forget about it, I just don't trust them. You know, I think they're failed leaders, and if they don't repent, and they should have repented before now, I would not recommend anybody following them.
Mm. Okay, so what? Six Southern Baptist seminaries. Obviously, you don't have a lot of confidence in those because you started your own seminary, right? But where do you see those seminaries going today? Are they? Is the trajectory going left, or is it starting to inch over more to the right?
Well, I think the cultural winds are stronger today even than they were 6 years ago, 7 years ago. They're more subtle. And so whereas, you know, back then cultural Marxism, critical race theory, critical theory in all of its forms was really infiltrating. And you have some leaders in those seminaries saying stupid things, just horrific things because they were being influenced by those winds. That's not happened as overtly as it was then. But I do think that the winds are stronger in some subtle ways, particularly with egalitarianism and feminism. And you look at all of our seminaries, they all offer MDivs, I think. Maybe Southern doesn't, but I think they all offer MDivs to women. And they all have women in classes with men who are studying for the MDivs. And, you know, they look at that and they say, oh, it's not a big deal. This, you know, we got to train women. Women need to know theology. Well, yes and amen, women need to know theology. But I just read a book that was published in 1923 by the Southern Baptists. J.W. Porter was the editor of it, and it has articles by John Broadus and B.H. Carroll about feminism and the role of women. And some of the things those brothers said then, they would be run out of town on a rail today. It's amazing. And I read these things, I think, wow, we have really come a long way. I mean, you've heard people champion and applaud the fact that we have women messengers. And we had women messengers to the Southern Baptist Convention before women got the right to vote in the 19th Amendment here in the United States. And people are proud of that. These brothers are saying that was a bad mistake. Next thing you know, we'll have women on committees for our various boards and entities. And then before long, you probably have a woman who's a chairman. Well, Southeastern Seminary paraded the fact that they had a woman chairman of their board of trustees. And yet these are men, godly men, you know, that they're not infallible, so they could be wrong. But it's worth a conversation. And I think today that most of our seminaries are not even willing to have the conversation.
Tom, what do you say to the entities like that that say, well, she's not a pastor, so it's not violating scripture? I know in Texas, the BGCT elected an ordained woman children's pastor to be the president of the convention. Just mind blowing to me. But how do you respond to that if at Southeastern they said, well, there's nothing wrong with that. She's not a pastor.
Yeah, I would say that they have, by those arguments, demonstrated just how deeply impacted they have been by modern Western liberal Enlightenment thinking rather than the Word of God. I mean, sometimes, and this is where some of the complementarian arguments, Danny Akin, you know, did this, and I don't know if he called himself this. I think he did. I'm a thin complementarian, you know, certainly in the church and the home, men need to take leadership, but, you know, that's it. And this is tied in, Jeff, to a superficial kind of biblicism. Now, you know, when people use the word biblicism, if they mean the Bible's the final authority, yes and amen, I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. But if they mean that if we don't have a chapter and verse for something, then we shouldn't believe it, well, that's deadly, because where's the chapter and verse on the Trinity? You have to read the whole Bible with your eyes wide open, understand, okay, no, God is triune, but he doesn't have one verse that says, I am triune. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like these brothers believe that God just kind of said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you know, should we have men or women be elders? Should we have men or women be the leaders in the home? It's by nature, and we have lost sight of ontology and what it means. Anthropology is the biggest crisis we face today. What is a man? What is a woman? We see that in culture, and we think we're straight about it in the church, but then you get these arguments like, well, the Bible doesn't say that, you know, a woman can't be a trustee or chairman of trustee or chairman of, or the president of a convention. Did God design men and women differently to do different things by nature? Yes, he did. And whenever we're talking about ecclesiastical leadership beyond the biblically prescribed structures of a local church, we can't just forget about those basic ontological differences between men and women. And it has nothing to do with the ability of women and the value of women and their giftedness. It has everything to do with how God designed women to be women and men to be men, and the measure of a woman is not a man. And so much of our convention has been eaten up with this idea of almost like, you know, Annie Oakley's old song, anything you can do, I can do better.
Right.
And if you don't let a woman do the things that God calls men to do, then somehow you're being misogynistic or you're being oppressive to women. And that is a horrible thing to do to women. It's a horrible thing to do to men. It's a horrible thing to do to the church.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, you know, it was just not too long ago when you had Russell Moore promoting Beth Moore to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and now Beth Moore is, what is she, Episcopal? What is she? She's left the...
Anglican, yeah, yeah.
You know, she seems to... You know, she kind of held it together like, hey, I'm conservative. And then it was like the mask came off and you see her for what she really is.
No, that's exactly right. And Russell Moore did a number on our convention and his leadership. It's sad to me what happened to Russ, and I don't have any explanation for it, except I believe in the devil. And I think that he has been demonically influenced, you know, and I don't mean that as any slam against Russ. I mean, good night. Peter was demonically influenced. Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. So, you know, Paul warned the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 that among your own number, you know, there will rise up those who will lead people astray. And so none of us is immune to the devil's ploys. I just hate that he was so effective with Russ and the people that Russ has influenced. And yeah, Beth Moore's kind of an example of that, but there are others that are not as egregious as what Beth's trajectory has been. I just rewatched a panel discussion. You know, the SBC, when J.D. Greer was president, had this women as co-ministers or helpers in the church or something like that. And they talked about all the things, women Bible teachers and women good theologians, women this in the church, women that in the church. Not one word about being a wife or mother. Mm-hmm. TGC did a panel like that as well. and had Jen Wilkin on it. And, you know, they introduced herself. Well, she introduced herself as a Bible teacher who's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And not a word about being a wife.
Well, we'll continue with this discussion after the break. We're talking to Dr. Tom Askell, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, and the founder of Founders Ministry, president. And you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my friend Dr. Tom Askell, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. Okay, Tom, this June, celebrate 40 years as pastor. Very few guys are at a church that long. That is quite a milestone.
It is, and it's a testimony to God's grace. That it's all grace, and particularly grace in the people here at the church to put up with me that long. Of course, only four people are still alive who were a part of the church back then. It's my wife and myself and what was then my 2-year-old and 6-month-old daughter. So, you know, the church, it was a church that had a lot of problems. It was only 3 years old when I got here, and they'd been through like three splits, and so weren't very many people. And they were just, you know, it was a sad deal. And I tell people, and this is the truth, they were a church nobody wanted. I think they'd had like 12 different candidates. And I was a pastor nobody wanted. And so it kind of worked out really well. It's like a marriage made in heaven. And God just kept us together. And all praise, all glory goes to Him.
Where did you go to seminary, Tom?
Southwestern in Fort Worth. Yeah.
And that's where you got your PhD?
That's correct. Yeah, I did an MDiv, went straight into the PhD, and moved out here right after I finished my seminars, and then wound up taking the next 3 years, I guess it was, to write my dissertation.
Who was the president at Southwestern when you were there?
Russell Dilday was the guy who was there when I started, and I think he was there when I graduated. Yeah, he was there when I graduated, too, in 89.
Uh-huh. Very good. Okay, I wanted to shift gears a little bit, Tom, and talk about the assault from the left on conservatives and on Christians who would have the audacity to side with Donald Trump on anything, because as we all know, Trump is the Antichrist, or at least related somehow. Here was a clip that I ran across yesterday, and it seems like my feed is just getting flooded with people that are saying, I mean, it's a concerted effort from the left to get Christians to, you know, erode our trust in voting for Donald Trump or any Republican. This is what this guy had to say, and I want you to listen to it and then comment on it.
You know, I've been called an anti-MAGA preacher, and it's true. I am anti-MAGA. In fact, anyone who claims to be a Christian has to be anti-MAGA, or else you're not truly following the teachings of Jesus Christ. You cannot follow Jesus, who told us to welcome the stranger, while also advocating to close our borders to immigrants and refugees. You cannot follow Jesus, who told us to feed those who are hungry and give drink to those who are thirsty, while also advocating to cut programs that give food and drink to those who are hungry and thirsty. You cannot claim to follow Jesus, who went around and provided health care for free while also advocating for cuts to health care. You cannot claim to follow Jesus, who spent his entire life going around and teaching people while also cutting education. You cannot claim to follow Jesus, who spent his entire ministry giving hope to the poor while also advocating for an economic system that takes money from the poor and gives it to billionaires. Yes, I'm an anti-MAGA preacher because everything that claims to make America great again is bad for the kingdom of God, the reign of God on this earth. If you're a Christian, be anti-MAGA.
Okay, Tom. The sad reality is so many people agree with him that would call themselves Christians. So let me get your rebuttal.
Well, he's a pastor, and so I hold him to a higher standard. He's ignorant, and he is misleading people, not because he doesn't like Trump, but the things he said, it's just pure socialism. I was reminded of Margaret Thatcher's comment with the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money.
Right.
And so does he lock his doors? Will he welcome people in to eat his food without any kind of qualification and without any limit? You know, no, of course he locks his doors. I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous. To a person like that, I want to say, fine, I can help you do what you say everybody ought to want to do. But that's not what they want. What they want is for the government. They want the government to take other people's money and do what they think ought to be done so they can feel good about things being done that doesn't cost them. So I think the man is ignorant. People who follow teaching like that are ignorant, and they're being misled, and they're blind guides who are leading blind sheep, and the judgment will be higher. Let few of you be teachers because mm-hmm. the judgment will be higher. So that man will have a high price to pay. And this is, I'm not a Donald Trump apologist,
right.
but my goodness, Donald Trump has been the best president in my lifetime. And you know, with all of his faults and foibles, we pray for him every Sunday. We pray that God will save him every Sunday, that he'll learn to fear God. But he has been the best president in my lifetime. And, you know, people ask me, well, are you going to side with Trump? And I'll side with him when in 2005 he called out Jeffrey Epstein as a mm-hmm. wicked man. You know, they don't like to hear that. But
right.
anyway, I just hate that. I hate that there's such poor political theology in the pulpits of our land today, especially in our Baptist pulpits.
Okay, so Tom, it seems like you and I are a similar age. It seems like early on, politicians wanted to have, they wanted to be known as Christian. So, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic, I'm an Episcopal, I'm a whatever. They asked Ronald Reagan in the debate with Walter Mondale, you know, have you been born again? Now, from all I can tell, Ronald Reagan had been born again, but he said we never used that term. But now, okay, you have Trump who, I don't know if he calls himself a Christian or not. You know, he doesn't know if he's going to make it to heaven. He doesn't understand the gospel. But it's not the in thing, the vogue thing, obviously, to be associated with Christians. Zohran Mamdani is a outspoken Muslim socialist. So we used to say that mattered, that this person is a person of faith and a person of morality. It doesn't seem to matter anymore. Donald Trump's morality is not great, although he understands the difference between right and wrong rudimentarily, you know, just in a basic sense. And he knows the difference between a victim and a criminal. But how do you evaluate him from a Christian perspective? And you say, okay, that's our leader, mm-hmm. but we don't really like his personal life.
Yeah, well, I mean, Cyrus was a terrible tyrant in so many ways. I mean, Cyrus did a lot of wicked things. God raised Cyrus up to do good for his people. And we are told in 1 Timothy 2, we're to pray for kings and those who have authority. And so we must do that so that we might live a quiet and peaceful life with all dignity. All right, if that's a desire that God says we ought to have, to be able to live upright lives with dignity in peaceful ways, where's the leader that's going to promote that? I mean, you look at what has been happening here since Trump has been president, and I keep reminding myself, we could have had Kamala Harris as president. And we had Christians, sadly, people I know and love, like Ray Ortland, you know, who said, never Trump, this time Kamala, always Jesus. You know, that is so utterly foolish that it just grieves me. Again, there's a lack of awareness, lack of thinking carefully and theologically about political issues. And I think for especially you and me, our tradition, you know, politics has kind of been off limits. We're not supposed to talk about politics, and we don't want the state involved in the church. And that's fine. We could afford to live like that up until the last 25 or 30 years because our forefathers didn't live like that, and they bequeathed to us a nation that we still, at that time, were living off of the remnants of this wonderful Christian foundation that our nation was built upon. Well, that foundation has crumbled, and now those of us who are stewards of this era of our nation's history, we got to make a decision. Are we going to try to rebuild the foundations? Are we just going to cave in? And I think that, praise God, seems like more and more men are waking up to the reality. No, we have a stewardship too. And you know, I look at my grandkids and I'm motivated because I want to do what I can to at least provide some arrows for them to follow after I'm gone, because we're in a deep spiritual war that includes national realities. The nation's not the kingdom of God, of course. But again, that pastor, what he said, which nation in the world has done more to advance the gospel around the world than the United States? There's not one. God raised up this nation in his providence, and he stirred up people to send the gospel around the world. You know, I was reading recently in a book by Victor Masters, published in the middle of the 19th century, called A Call to Missions. And I've just forgotten the missionary's name or the guy's name. You would know him. But he said, if I were a missionary in Kambalsung, China, the first thing I would do every morning is get on my knees and pray for the success of the gospel in America, for the success of the gospel in Kambalsung, China. We need America strong for the work of the gospel in China. That's what was his point. And he's not wrong about that. And it's still, America still matters. And, you know, God can throw us on the ash heap of human history. His kingdom won't miss a beat. But we have a stewardship. What are we going to do? I want to be found faithful with whatever little I can do, with whatever energies and time I have left.
Yeah. Tom, do you get accused by maybe somebody that visits your church of, oh, that church is too political, that pastor's too political?
You know, interestingly, we get the opposite. Like one of our students who came, was warned not to come to the seminary, and he said, when I showed up here, I was expecting this political sermons all the time. He said this after about 4 months here. He said, but you know, I'm just amazed. So it hadn't been that way at all. So the people who come don't feel that way. I've had people, this has happened twice, but the most dramatic was a woman who was weeping at the end of the service because I prayed for President Biden back when he was president. And she said, she was from Minneapolis, oddly, but she said, I'm probably the only Democrat in this congregation this morning. She was a visitor. She said, but to hear you pray for my president, she said, I've just not heard that before. And thank you. Thank you for doing that. You know, and so our church, but you can't avoid dealing with political issues because they're wrapped up with moral issues. And that has become increasingly the case today. We got Supreme Court justice who doesn't know what a woman is. How are you not going to talk about that?
Yeah, we have the sheriff of Mecklenburg County that doesn't even know about three branches of government. I don't know if you saw that. They asked him on Capitol Hill, what branch of government do you work for? And he said, the people of Mecklenburg County. And they said, well, yeah, what branch? And then when they gave it to him, the three branches, he chose judicial. Said, it's very, very sad. You know, that's the state of the nation in so many regards. Okay, Tom, what's your response to the divide in America? You know, we call ourselves the United States of America. We're the divided states of America, and those on the left are going further left. They're embracing more and more and more insanity, and I think it was Elon Musk that showed on a graph. He said, I was here on issues and the left just keeps moving more and more left. And now they call me, you're a conservative, you're a bigot, you're a Nazi, you know, all that stuff. how it's, you can't compromise with people that don't even know what a man is, what a woman is. I mean, those aren't issues that we can necessarily come together on. So if you pull out your crystal ball, how does America heal from this divide?
Yeah, God is going to have to do it. I don't think we have any hope apart from God. Now, that doesn't mean I'm throwing up my hands and becoming a pacifist and doing nothing. I'm going to work hard, but I'm going to work hard knowing that at the end of every day, I'm an unprofitable servant, and I need God to come and bless the labors of my hands. And in Psalm 90, Moses prays that, you know, and we ought to be praying that too. But we need revival. About 3 or 4 years ago, our church started setting aside the first Wednesday of every month to pray and fast for revival. And I'm grateful for that. You know, we haven't seen what we've been praying for yet, but we're praying because God has done it in the past. He's changed regions. He's changed churches. He's changed towns and nations, and he can do it again. And I believe that as God's people, we must be fasting and praying, seeking God to come. But we must also stand against evil and be willing to call it evil. And whenever those who call themselves Christians promote evil, we have to be willing to cut it straight and say, no, you call yourself a Christian, but you have been deceived. And God is the one who tells us what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. And you are on the wrong side of God whenever you promote evil and call it good. And of course, the Bible is not immune or not unaware of all these things, because right, the Bible tells us that these things will happen.
Right. Tom, what about the rise of Islam? You know, I mean, it's mind blowing that New York City would vote in an Islamic socialist. And between the two, I'm a lot more concerned about him being a Muslim than being a socialist. Yep. Both are bad, but yep, Islam doesn't play ball with anybody. It conquers and takes over. So we got about 2 minutes, minute and a half. What's your take on the state of New York City and what's in store for those folks?
Yeah, I think we don't know how bad it is going to get in New York City. And to welcome in Muslims play the long game. You know, we think the Crusades are over. They don't. They're continuing. They think in terms of centuries in their war. We think in terms of months, you know, or maybe years. And Christians have been blinded by this. Islam is a false religion. They worship a false god under a false prophet. And we've had Muslims in our church. One young man came for a while, and he finally asked me, he said, I think I'm understanding. Do you think Muhammad's a true prophet? I said, no. He said, do you think Allah is the true God? I said, no. He said, your words are war to me, so I will never set foot in this church again. And, you know, he understood. He got what I was saying.
Right.
Christians have our eyes open. This is a spiritual war that we're involved in.
Yeah, for sure. We're talking to Dr. Tom Askell. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Now, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, we would love to hear from you. So pick up the phone, give me a call, and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to Dr. Tom Askell, and we've been talking about the Southern Baptist Convention, and we've been talking about politics and MAGA and all those things, that are important for Christians to know about. There is a spiritual battle taking place, and every Christian needs to know that. The warfare is prayer, and the devil is at work. We know that God is at work, but the devil is at work. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's trying to squeeze people into this mold. He's a liar and the father of lies. Tom, I want to play this clip for you, and it just shows the hypocrisy of the left and their arguments, because they make absolutely no sense, and they're so illogical and they don't hold up to scrutiny at all. This is somebody saying that he is exposing this hypocrisy.
You hate white men unless they're gay. You love black people unless they're conservative. You're for illegal immigration as long as they don't come into your home. You want to ban guns, but you want the government to still have theirs. You hate capitalism, but you expect these corporations to change their logo for Pride Month. You hated slavery, so you hate the party that was formed to abolish the slaves. You hated slavery, but you align with the party that was for keeping slaves. You don't recognize two genders unless you're talking about their hormones. You hate American values, but yet you want to still live here. You say black people can't be racist, but Candace Owens, Thomas Sowell, and Larry Elder are white supremacists. You want to ban guns to save children, but keep abortion to murder them.
Tom, how do you make sense of any of that?
Yeah, I believe in the devil. The devil's a deceiver. And yeah, it's a sad thing. Sin has affected our minds. Sin has affected our emotions. And I think people are enslaved to sin and have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. And that little clip you played is a pretty good, succinct illustration of how effective he has been.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Romans 1, God gives them over the third time. He gives them over. He gives them over to a reprobate mind. Tom, mm-hmm. Do you see a reprobate mind then being changed? So you're not like, you haven't crossed a line of no, a point of no return. If you have a reprobate mind, you can come to the knowledge of the truth?
Boy, you know, that's a big question. And I think I would lean towards saying yes, because of the power of the gospel. And, you know, the fact that God saved me gives me great hope for anybody. And I think the Lord, his arm's not so short, he cannot save today, even the worst of sinners. And you think about who was the Old Testament king who was so wicked and God saved him at the end of his life?
Yeah.
Josiah's grandfather. Who was that? Starts with an M. I forget. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But anyway, so God can save wicked people. Paul, thinking he was serving God, breathing out threats against the Church of Jesus Christ.
Manasseh,
thank you. So, I mean, I want to believe that, yes, people can change by the power of the Spirit and the gospel. It is that powerful. But people who give themselves over to that and who go so far as to just completely renounce and blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God, well, there is an unpardonable sin. Right. And I do believe a person can commit it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have David on the line from Iowa. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to ask your guest, I have believers that actually one of them is a pastor, a former pastor of mine in California. I'm in Iowa now. And it seems like that a whole group of people I know are Christians. I don't question that. But they're questioning my Christianity because I'm for law and order. They're questioning my Christianity because I voted for Trump. I don't like everything Trump does. I don't even like every one of his policies. But overall, he's doing a heck of a job. Mm-hmm. How do we approach those people? Because they're almost like, they're looking at me now like I'm not a Christian anymore.
Right. Yeah, it's a good question, David. And Tom, I think that's the strategy of the left right now is to put so much pressure on Christians. They call us triple Trump voters, and you know, like you're the worst person on the planet if you did that. So, what would be your response?
Yeah. Well, I think I'd say this to them: by what standard are you judging me? You know, where are you getting your standard of morality in Christianity? Help me understand that. And just try to take them to the Bible. I always try to get people to use biblical categories, biblical language, whenever they're making these kind of accusations. You know, can you help me and show me in the Bible what you mean? And they can't do that. I've never had one person come close to doing that. Even that pastor's clip you played earlier, if you were to take him to the scripture, he'd be embarrassed in trying to support the claims that he made. So ask by what standard. And then just realize, again, man, the warfare we are engaged in is spiritual. The devil hates us. The devil tries to deceive. The devil, the scripture says very clearly, he has access to our minds. He put words in Peter's mouth that came from thoughts that was wrong, and Jesus had to rebuke Peter. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we see the demonic influence on people, even good people that we know and love. And Paul warns in, what is it, 2 Timothy 2 about those that have been, or 1 Timothy 2 about those who have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. Mm-hmm. Okay, that can happen. We need to pray for them if perhaps God might grant them repentance and be patient with them. And so we're always obligated to speak the truth and speak it in love. One resource I would recommend, or two maybe, by Joe Rigney. He's written a book called The Sin of Empathy, but that's a little provocative title. But a better, the better book that everybody ought to read is Leadership and Emotional Sabotage. People try to steer us and manipulate us emotionally. Mm-hmm. And we must be immune, become immune to emotional manipulation. And that's what folks do by saying, oh, well, you're not even a Christian, or how can you? Look, by what standard? Show them from the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Tom, I preached Sunday on Jesus cleansing the temple. You know, he did it at the front end, John 2, and then he does it after the triumphal entry. And he never went after injustices that were produced by Rome. He went after the unrighteous in his own house and among the people, and they hated him for it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And yeah, and judgment begins with the household of God. And we have got to come to terms with, is Jesus Lord over every area of life? And are we going to look for his lordship and try to assert his lordship in every area of life, not just between me and God personally, that's important, mm-hmm. not just in the church, that's important, but Jesus is Lord over the world as well. And so, you know, Jesus called Herod a fox. John the Baptist told him, you can't have your brother's wife, that's sin. And we need to be willing to say whatever God says and apply that to any realm that is a part of reality.
Okay, so let me ask you this, bringing up John the Baptist. What would John the Baptist say today concerning the Trump administration?
Well, I think he would say that the wicked things that Trump has said and done, you know, you're wrong. You can't do that. That's, you've sinned against God. So I don't think he'd have any rose-colored glasses on about that. But I don't know if he'd say more than that or not. I mean, you know, he had a mission. So if you're talking about John the Baptist on the mission that he had, that right. he would be focused. But you take John the Baptist's standards and his boldness today, he looked at the religious leaders of his day and called them snakes. Right. And I don't think he had any hesitation calling some of our political leaders today snakes that are doing wicked, evil things in the name of justice. And while they are magistrates under the authority of Jesus Christ and abusing that authority. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, it seems to me, Tom, that you have people on the left, they're constantly grilling Trump. I mean, they're negative on Trump. It's been shown, the news organizations, 95% negative on Trump. Trump he's a flawed person. Sure. They never point out anything good he does, and they don't put that same kind of scrutiny on anybody on the left. You know, you don't hear about Bill Clinton and all his shenanigans and things that he did. It's Trump's in the Epstein files. Trump did this. Trump did that. Trump did the other. And so it's definitely not fair what they put that guy through. I've said many times, you know, when it comes to Donald Trump, one thing every pastor can learn from that guy is don't quit. Keep That's right. going. He has taken the biggest beating I've ever seen in the public eye, and he doesn't stop.
Yeah, amen. And one of the we use some of the language of the left to describe that. You need to become anti-fragile, you know, anti-fragile. We want our church to be anti-fragile. I want our men, our families to be anti-fragile. Pastors need that so that when people come to us and begin to say, you must do this or you don't love Jesus. You must do this or you're of the devil. And you just say, uh-uh. You know, like you don't phase me. You don't right. phase me with your accusations.
Right. Very good. Well, thank you, David. That was a good question. We have our friend Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to the program.
God bless you, both of you, man, Pastor. I was just sitting here thinking, I reckon that the Southern Baptist is just about the last organization huge organization of Christians that hasn't accepted women preachers. You know, and I really believe we are looking about the disintegration of America. The Bible does not say that there's going to be a great revival before the Lord comes. It says there'll be a great falling away. And, you know, to be a falling away, you had to be biblical and have biblical beliefs. And Beth, talk about Beth Moore. She joined a denomination that split the whole denomination so a gay alcoholic person could be a preacher in that organization. And I hate to say it, I've been a Southern Baptist my whole life, but I think it's just a few years until a lot of these older pastors pass away. You're going to see the Southern Baptists just where everybody else is going. And I looked at Timothy one time, the qualifications, everywhere it says it's he, him, himself, right. You know, it's all masculine. I forgot how many times I counted, you know, on that. It never once says she, her, you know, and the Bible says that a house divided, and that goes for a denomination, against itself cannot stand.
Yeah, very good, Lee. I always appreciate your comments. Tom, does the SBC have much future?
Well, again, I believe in God who raises the dead. Mm-hmm. And revivals have happened in the past. You saw what happened in the conservative resurgence. There were a lot of wonderful, good things. We could be like the United Methodist Church today had God not raised up Adrian Rogers and other godly men to stand firm. And I think we have a duty, whether God does it or not in our day, I think we have a duty to do our best to work for reformation, to pray for revival. And I long for a great revival. He's done it in the past. And so I'm very encouraged. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get discouraged and say all is lost. There's no hope. We've got to do what we can. And if I don't see revival before I die, I pray that the prayers I'm praying now will be answered with great revival after I'm dead. But I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to say all is lost. It's all hopeless. The SBC, I think that brother's right. We have a lot of opportunity because of what God's done in the past. But we're on the verge of squandering it by caving in to leftists in ways that our forefathers couldn't have imagined.
Well, Tom, guys that have left the convention because they just couldn't put up with it anymore, and you have others that are almost like encouraging people to leave. Mm-hmm. If all the conservatives leave, then what's left?
Yeah. That's exactly right, and that's what's happened, and I think that's part of the ploy of those who want to see the SBC go the way of the United Methodist Church. You know, they want us to be progressive. They want us to get the applause of the media and the cultural elites. And it is. Every year it gets harder and harder because more and more conservatives get fed up and leave, and I understand that, but it's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for, and God can do it. I mean, every morning, I remind myself in 2 Corinthians 1, Paul says that he went through trials that was to teach him to trust not in himself, but in God who raises the dead.
Amen.
So anybody who believes that God raises the dead ought to be willing to fight for whatever good things God put in front of them.
That is such a good word. The Lord never told us it was going to be easy, and it's not. Anything worthwhile is going to take a fight. And I tell people this a lot, Tom. You know, the Promised Land wasn't an empty piece of property. You had to fight giants and enemies. And so, well, Tom, Amen. Thank you so much for being my guest. It's always a joy, my friend. And I pray for you, and I appreciate all that you do for the kingdom. I look forward to seeing you in June.
Good. Yeah, Jeff, thank you so much. Enjoyed this.
God bless you. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Listen, if you have a question and you didn't get to call in or we ran out of time, you can always connect with me, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, and I get those emails and we'll respond to you. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Ask God to give you an opportunity to tell somebody today about Jesus, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.